Jessica, we're going to ask you to go back to August. That was a difficult fair. Early morning, she and Anthony Tittens are getting a food trailer ready. There was an explosion. Anthony burned, but Taylor injured extensively. Would that be a fair summary of that morning back in August?
Yes, for sure.
Remind us, there were percentages given at that time, the extent of the burns and the difficulties of the burns. Could you go over those for a minute with us?
Yeah, so once Taylor was taken to Utah, they evaluated, and she was burned over 49% of her body.
Now, she went directly by Life Flight. They took her to the hospital in Life Flight to the U of U. And since that first week of August, she has been at the U of U Burn Center, is that correct?
Yes, in the intensive care unit.
In the intensive care. Well, a lot of us have been reading about that on a website that keeps us update. Her good mom, Stephanie, updating us on what's on the progress and so forth. But could you kind of walk us through what's been happening through August? And here we are, two-thirds of the way through September. Could you take us through that journey that she's been going through, the treatment and all that's been going on for Taylor?
I'll do my best. It's such a slow progress or process that looking back, it seems so far away. The things that she's gone through, starting from being able to breathe on her own, and now fast forward to today, she's able to, she's counting how many laps she can walk around the intensive care unit.
Can we go back to breathing on her own? So those early days, she had assisted breathing, had to have something helping her breathe.
Yeah, she was intubated here in Wyoming before the flight, and she actually had the intubation for, I believe it was 9 days, that she wasn't able to breathe on her own, and that they were trying to make sure that figure out the extents of the damage to her lungs, and she actually has damage to her vocal cords right now that they're actually still dealing with from that.
Damage to the vocal cords. Okay. We'll come to that in a moment, but eventually she could breathe on her own. And at that point, did she, wake up and kind of realize what was going on? Because I'm assuming she was under sedation through a lot of that time.
Yeah, she's been under sedation off and on a lot. During the time she was intubated, she wasn't completely sedated. She was able to communicate with her eyes. And Taylor knows sign language, and my sister Stephanie also knows sign language. So they were able to communicate a little bit that way. It was hard for Taylor to move her hands. So for her to, the only way was for her to fingerspell. So it was kind of difficult to figure it out, but they were able to communicate somewhat.
Moving her hands, let's go back to the burns. Her upper body was burned extensively, her legs too. Where were the burns?
Yes, definitely her legs probably had the worst of it. Both of her arms were burned, her lower back, where she was wearing her apron tied and bending over, it lifted her shirt a little bit. So her lower back has a lot worse burns too. And then, of course, her face and her neck.
Extensive burns. I didn't know about the sign language. Is that something she studied in school? Or?
Yeah, here in Star Valley.
How about that? And that was actually used early days, and I'm assuming still to some extent now because of the vocal cords?
She's actually able to speak very well now, so I don't think that she has to really rely on the sign language much. Maybe unless someone's in the room and she doesn't want to speak out loud, she could still, communicate with her mom, but... But yeah, it was very helpful in the early times to be able to do more than just shake your head.
Okay. So as time went, she was aware of, basically as time was progressing, she was aware of what was happening around her, able to communicate first by sign language, and then eventually as things improved, some voice. Let's talk a little bit about how they treat these burns. You just described something that was... Those are a lot of burns in key areas. I understand there have been skin graft surgeries, things like that. Is that a correct summary?
Yes. I actually don't remember the number of skin graft surgeries she's had. There's been several. And I guess how it happens is at first they take skin grafts from cadavers and they actually place the skin through a machine that makes it look like fishnet stockings so that it can stretch in the area, and then they're able to cover more area with less.
And that gradually grows in with the original skin and so forth.
Well, what it does is it protects the area and tries to, I guess, trick the body into recovering. And that's how they can tell when they're ready to do the final skin graft. So they do that as many times as they need. And from what I understand, once her skin that's growing starts, or her body starts trying to attach to the skin, that's how they know that it's ready for her skin. And then they actually found areas that she wasn't burnt where they took her skin, did the same thing, and placed it on. They hold it down with staples, thousands of staples.
And taking her own skin probably hurt as well. So.
Yeah, that's actually where she has the most pain
Where they take her own skin grafts. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is a long process, and it sounds like we have a highly qualified specialist treating you there at the Burn Center at the U of U.